Welcome back to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. A much talked about topic in culture and social media is the topic of dating. But how can we view dating as a Christian? What are some qualities to look for in the people that we date? We talk about all of that and much more in this week's episode. Andrew Warnes joins me once again in the first two-part episode of Road Trips. So stick around till next week for part two, and I hope you enjoy part one of One Another, Dating. I'm Tyler Wall, and this is Road Trips. All right, Andrew Warnes, welcome back to the show.
So much for having me, Tyler. It's a privilege to be back in the seat of this car.
Yes, it definitely is. And speaking of seats, you're in a different location than when we last recorded. You were selfish and you left, and let's just call it what it is.
Jump ship, man. Yeah. New place, man. So I moved from Altus, Oklahoma. That was home for me for just shy of 10 years. And just of tomorrow will be 4 weeks ago, we pulled into Maryville, Tennessee. It looks like it should be pronounced Maryville, but I was informed day one, day two, day three, and following that it's Merville. So I'm just south of Knoxville, Tennessee. Beautiful place, great people. And yeah, man, new place, new navigational skills going on, being learned.
Well, I'm sure God's going to do some great things through you. So before we get into our actual discussion, I wanted to ask, you are a big movie guy. One particular genre, I don't know if it's a genre, but one particular set of movies that we like to talk about are Pixar movies. So I'm curious, in your mind, what is the greatest Pixar movie of all time?
I'm so glad you asked this question. No, I did threaten Tyler before we began that we would be on this for 30 minutes and our main topic would be like 2.5 if we're lucky. But I'll go as quickly as possible. Top three. Wall-E is number three. Ratatouille's number two. I love Toy Story. Everyone thinks Toy Story should be number one. I think it's amazing, but Incredibles 1, not 2, not a big fan of 2. Incredibles 1 is like peak animation, maybe. It's definitely best Pixar, and I would argue it's better than like 9/10 of superhero movies out there. It's the best. It's the best. If you want me to go on for it for forever, I can't wait for our Pixar specific podcast that I'm sure we'll plan in the next 6 months. But for now, I'll just keep it to those three are the best, and there isn't a flaw in any of them.
Yeah, I think the people would want a Pixar only podcast with you and I. I would probably have your one and two switched around. Ratatouille is amazing.
No issues.
The music,
I stand by that.
The look, it's funny. It's about food. And I love food, and so you just can't go wrong.
It's hard to beat, you know. I just don't. Yeah. Now, okay, I know my controversial opinion is Wall-E. Do you like Wall-E? Are you a Wall-E denier? Like, I know a lot of people, including my family, Wall-E deniers.
I wanted to like it, you know, and it felt like one of those movies that you were told that it was really good, and so you came in with like a lot of expectations, and then you left, and you were kind of like, that's it.
Hey, you know, we can't all see the light, but that's okay. The invitation to love what's worth loving is still there.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's get into what we're going to talk about today. Before we talk for too long about Pixar movies, which we both can do, we're going to talk about dating today. That's not a word that you find in scripture, and yet it's a very prevalent and important topic for us to talk about. So I want to start out by asking, what is dating's purpose as a Christian?
Very good question. And I think that depends on your upbringing, your culture of Christianity, perhaps. And to your point, it's not something you can run to scripture with. There's a lot of relationship advice or specifics in scripture that deal with certain relationships, and yet dating premarital is pretty sparse unless you want to go back to like arranged marriages. So here's kind of like, I was thinking about examples from scripture that I could use as a jumping off point. And I think Ruth and Boaz is probably as good of an example principle wise, which is to say this, that if there's someone you have a crush on, go find them and sleep by their feet, I guess. And like, that's that. Right? I would just think that. No, obviously. Obviously, they're just more of a, I'm going to like the principles that they show. And I'm going to share two principles I've seen in the life of Ruth and Boaz, or rather the relationship of Ruth and Boaz, while minimally documented in scripture. Their relationship shows two things that I think are important. First off, it is that it is not a guarantee of marriage. It's something that even with them, they know, like, hey, like, I don't belong to you and you don't belong to me. He's protective of her purity. He's protective of her reputation. They are respectful to each other because they know, like, this is not, like, we're not married. Like, this isn't something that's a guarantee. And yet, I think you could argue, there's sort of a sense that it's all dependent on the possibility of marriage. Like, he's going to maintain this relationship in the way that he is because there is a possibility of marriage. Now, for Boaz, we don't have to get into the story, but he goes on to seek Ruth's other potential suitors from her family. Go read the book of Ruth. It's very short. It's good. It's a sweet little story with massive biblical implications, yet it just shows us a simple, not even a full-fledged, but just a very simple picture of a courtship that takes place in which people respect each other, respect that they don't belong to each other, and yet are kind of doing what they're doing with the possibility of marriage in mind. And I'm using that as my prompt for this. And I think each, you know, if you talk to Tyler, you're probably going to get some sort of background as far as what he grew up with. Other preachers, other teachers, other ministers, other spiritual advisors you have will have different promptings. So for me, I grew up in what would be considered a very conservative setting, very much late 90s, early 2000s, purity culture with protecting your heart, even the advice to not have serious relationships at all till marriage, and maybe even forbidding of kissing. Or, you know, not to be extreme, but, you know, the hand-holding, maybe that's the stereotype of don't do all these things until you've married a person or you found the person you're married. Just maybe a notch or two shy of arranged marriages. And I grew up a little bit in that environment. And so I guess what I'm here to say is that I don't think I abide by that anymore. I've come to see in my years of youth ministry how it's sometimes just okay to have like a cute little relationship where you have a crush, you kind of have a boyfriend-girlfriend. It's pretty harmless. It kind of helps the young man or the young woman kind of navigate feelings, navigate future, navigate choices, and navigate what kind of person they're looking for. So I get all that in principle, but here's what I'm building up to to your question, what's the purpose of dating in a Christian sense? My conservative upbringing, but I also think wisdom from scripture and wisdom from spiritual walking has caused me to, whether it's from other advisors or other books, whatever it is, come to the opinion that there comes a point, and this is where it's not a law. So who knows when that age is, right? Maybe it's late high school. Maybe it's mid high school. Maybe it's college. But I think that there comes a point that if you are seeking a romantic relationship and there isn't a possibility of marriage, then my question is, what's the point of it? Because I do believe that if nothing else, dating ought to be for a man or a woman who follows Christ. If nothing else, like a candidacy for marriage. Like if it's not going towards that, we understand, and we could talk about, you know, physical boundaries in protecting each other's sexuality and decisions in that area. And that's important. But I would argue, too, that there is a little bit of that, whether it's heart or whether it's romance, that is designated for marriage, or at least with the possibility of marriage. So in a long way of me saying this, what is the purpose of dating for dating for Christians? I would venture to say it is candidacy for marriage. And I would argue, I wouldn't say it's a hot button issue. But I would say, I would go on a limb and say that that is its sole, whenever you come to a certain age, whatever that looks like, I think that if it's not going towards marriage, there's really no purpose for it, because that is what dating should be.
Yeah, I like everything you said there. The only kind of thing I have with that is I'm just envisioning someone listening to this and saying, yes, I agree the phrase date to marry. I agree with that. I think that that's really good. But then that balance, I don't know if balance is the right word, but kind of that tension between you're not married yet when you are dating, and so you don't technically belong to each other. You're still technically, by Bible definition, you're single, and by government definition, you're still single. Yeah. But then also you're working towards that goal of marriage. That can kind of be a difficult balance, I guess, to kind of navigate. What would you say to someone maybe thinking those thoughts? Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. No, the way I've taught it to my kids for years is you need to take dating seriously, unserious. And that's more for kids, admittedly. But it's like, again, I'm someone who's like struggling if I'm going to let my 18-month-old ever have a girlfriend whenever he's in my house, sort of thing. Like, I'm still choosing which side of the, purity culture I'm leaning towards. For my kids, I do say, like, and that's why I do come back to Ruth and Boaz, is there these relationships, romantic relationships that do exist. And yet I think you always need to have this understanding that, like, the way I put it is you need to be dating in a way as if you would break up. And that's not me saying be uncommitted. I think that instead you should be, especially if you're at a certain point in your life, you should go into relationships with maturity and willing to commit, but always treating it with like a dude, like, and that's kind of where I bring up a little bit of my background. I think that there was a lot of issues that came up whenever it was like, oh, if I'm in a relationship, it's basically pre-proposal. It's all but like getting married. And I think that that is dangerous. And I think that that has caused young men and women to be committed to relationships that were not fruitful for them, that were not good for them in the long run. So I don't know if I really have the specific advice. And maybe you have a follow-up question to this, but that's kind of been, it's always this area of balance, which is understanding that you ought to, and that is where I do lean towards, I'm not crazy about young kids or teenagers even getting boyfriend or girlfriend, because it's something that should be maintained as something that like is driving you towards the possibility of marriage, but also having the maturity to be like, hey, just because I'm enjoying this person, I like this person, maybe even like I'm compatible with them in a spiritual sense, doesn't mean that we are going to go the same route in life. And so I feel like I'm doing a lot of sound and fury right now and not giving you specifics, but it is that delicate balance. And I think we'll be discussing the challenges of that delicate balance as we continue along.
Yeah. And I agree with everything you've said. I also like that phrase. I've never heard this before. Seriously, unserious. Yeah. And I just thought of a couple things while you were talking there. Is one, the argument against date to marry, from what I've heard, and I don't really agree with it, is that kind of like what you were saying, you can almost be willing to overlook certain qualities or attributes or reasons why this relationship wouldn't work out because of the fact that, well, we're dating to marry. And so I've chosen this person. We've been together for a certain amount of time. And so if we break up, then what was the point in this relationship? Because we're dating to marry. And so you can be willing to overlook certain, I don't want to say even flaws, just certain reasons why you two wouldn't be compatible. And I kind of understand that in some degree, because to your point, I'm sure that that's happened before. The other thought I had on this was that dating is a really good practice for marriage. You read the Ephesians 5 marriage passage. You can't fully practice that before marriage, but you can to some degree. You can make those little sacrifices You can focus on more of the day-to-day doing, making those little sacrifices, doing those little acts of service for your boyfriend or girlfriend. And it doesn't just have to be, let's just go on fun dates and, you know, have a good time together. That's certainly an aspect of it. But in a way you can kind of practice for marriage. So with that being said, you know, who are the kind, and this depends on each person, but who are the kinds of people we should be looking to date?
Okay. Good question. So I would say, and again, I'm kind of going with the hypothesis today that the person who's listening to this is someone who's at least in high school, maybe older, someone who's at an age where they can at least consider the possibility of being in a romantic relationship, and that's something that can be taken seriously. Assuming this goes into adulthood, whoever might be listening, I think it just goes without saying is that it's someone who takes it seriously. I think that that's big. Like, again, we're talking about something that, yes, you can, especially whenever you're young, don't take it too seriously, kind of have fun. We're going to talk about that whenever we talk about some practical steps. But I think it is just someone who is like, hey, I'm not going to treat this like I'm not looking to date a boy or a girl. I'm looking to date a man or a woman, someone who's not perfect. We can discuss that in a bit. Someone who's still growing. We can discuss that in a bit. But still, a man or a woman who's going to take a romantic relationship seriously. And I think that you can look at all sorts of statistics about, you know, the age of marriage getting older and older. I think there's good reasons for that. My wife and I benefited from waiting a little bit, but to get married or being older than most of our friend groups from getting married. But there is still that little bit of even if there's some good reasons to become a well-rounded human being before you get into a committed relationship, there's still this icky truth, which is I think we're also just pushing off maturity and pushing off growing up, and like boyhood and womanhood or girlhood's kind of lasting on to a little bit. So I would say someone who takes it seriously, someone who's willing to be in a committed relationship, and someone who treats it like a man or woman should. Again, that's sort of subjective, but it's someone who just takes it seriously, a man or a woman. And someone, especially if we're discussing this, is someone who's a follower of Jesus, more than just someone who you know, pledges to a church or has a membership at some congregation. It's someone who follows Jesus. Even in their failure, they're maturing and growing towards him and showing his fruits and his acts of kindness. Whenever you asked me to do this, I was listening actually to a podcast I like, and his name is Johnny Ardovhanis. I'm sure I'm botching that. But he had one on dating, actually, and he gave these questions to be looking for that helped you find someone who's following Jesus and having long-lasting, is someone who's like got good stock, like you feel like you can follow them and they're trustworthy. And he says, ask these three questions: are they a serving or loving person? It's like, yes, you can play the part outside of, like, you know, like in the middle of dating because you're putting your best foot forward, but are they someone who does practice already serving and showing love to other people? Are they involved with their grandparents' life and serving them? Are they involved in their church family? Do they serve in some capacity where they can? Are they involved with serving and loving people? And that's something that would matter to me as I was looking for a future spouse. Are they someone who's disciplined in their own life? And I think that we're all a little subjective or have preferences towards which discipline we're talking about. But it's just this level of, you know, are they someone who demonstrates that they have, you know, dignity, that they have confidence, that they have, you know, if they're the future parent to your spouse, that they're someone who's going to demonstrate that we do hard things and it's a challenge, but we get up each day even whenever things are difficult. And again, I'm not here just criticizing someone who's a little, you know, they don't always make their bed each morning, because I would be the first to go. But, you know, it's just saying, like, are they a disciplined person? I think that that shows good qualities. Another one I saw this is, are they willing to learn and to grow? And I think that this could come a challenge because you might see yourself as their personal critic and be like giving advice perpetually. And I don't think that that's really healthy. But are they someone who demonstrates that they learn and grow? And maybe from their kind of sub questions would be, look at their group of influence. Who are their friends? Who do they go to for advice? Do they have a mentor? Do they have older, you know, it doesn't have to be some, you had a great devotional last week, but over mentorship, I would encourage your listeners to go back and listen to. But do they have, you know, whether it's a just some older Christian in their life that they seek counsel from, and they show humbly and demonstrate that they are someone who's not just defensive or happy where they're at, but they're willing to grow in these different areas. So I think that those that's scatterbrained, but hopefully it gives us a little bit of direction as to what kind of person who is a grown, mature adult who's a follower of Jesus and perfectly where they are, and maybe some fruits along the way that demonstrate that they are what they claim they are. So there you go.
No, that's really good. I just want to walk through that piece by piece. I love what you said at the beginning, because oftentimes you and I have probably both heard of the phrase date within the church, or if you have a new significant other, well, do they go to church? Are they a member of the church? That's a good question. I don't think that's really a full and complete question.
It is.
The real question is, like you were saying, are they more than playing the part? Are they following Jesus? Yeah. And that doesn't mean that they're not, and we're going to talk about expectations, but that doesn't mean that they're not sinning and they're perfect, because they will. It just means, are they continuing to be faithful? Not perfect, but faithful. I kind of want to just walk through those three questions. Are they serving? That's a fantastic question. You mentioned grandparents and parents and their church, because marriage in the long term, dating and marriage in the long term, is about service. Are you serving that person? Are you willing to make some sacrifices? Are you willing to do things that maybe you don't want to do? You know, are you willing to go to Ulta Beauty at 2 p.m. on a Saturday when you'd rather be playing golf? Marriage, man.
You go to Ulta like every weekend, so you better see if that boy you're interested in is willing to go to TJ Maxx with you. Which, by the
record, I'll go to TJ Maxx.
I was going to say, Tyler and Andrew both find us at TJ Maxx on the same day. Why don't you?
Exactly. And then look at their clothes and be like, man, they were both just wearing that like 3 days ago. Yeah, I got the large. You can get the medium. But I love that. And then the discipline. And it's not, like you were saying, all of these, you're not going to fulfill these perfectly. Yeah. I certainly don't. But do they have a regular sort of routine or a prayer life or a scripture reading life? And then you mentioned, do they learn to grow? And I like that. Are they willing to take advice from a mentor, from their parents? And do they take criticism? Are they willing to look at areas in their life? Not just like you mentioned, for you to just sit there and be their critic, but for you to look at some areas and say, hey, this is an area where maybe I'd like for you to work on, or is there any way this could change? And I think that in a way that's good. You're not asking them to completely change who they are, because then maybe they wouldn't be a good fit for you. Yeah. But if there are certain things, little habits or little things that maybe you weren't aware of, are you willing to change that? Are you willing to make certain behavioral adjustments?
Yeah, it's demonstrating a character of humility. And I want in my life to, again, have self-respect and confidence, but I want to be a humble person about it. And I think that if we seek those people who demonstrate that they are humble, I think that goes a long way, man. It really does.
Yeah, absolutely. So this kind of goes into my next question here. I didn't really know how to phrase this, but what's kind of how do we draw the line between high expectations and realizing that nobody is perfect, if that makes sense?
No, I think that's really good. And that is kind of wanted to end with this idea of learning or growth, because all of it is this. It ought to, in who you're looking for a romantic partner, for a future spouse, is it needs to have that, like, in the same way you judge is how you'll be judged, right? It's not to just self-destruct yourself and say, if I'm imperfect in some area, I can't have expectations against someone else. But it is saying, you know, like, I am going to be judged in the same way. So am I humble? Am I a learner? Am I a grower? And am I following? You know, maybe I'm sitting there thinking, this girl I have a crush on is not serving at our, you know, soup kitchen. And you know what? I just want a girl who's doing that. And maybe I haven't done it in like 6 months. And it's like, okay, like, the same umbrella, man, it goes over you. Like, am I demonstrating the qualities in my life? And am I giving the same mercies and the same judgment, the same understanding in both areas? So that's an important part. I think that most people will hopefully prayerfully use that kind of wisdom. And that's sort of discretion. But I think it's worth bringing up is you are held to the same judgment you judge into others. And a big concept too is this, is I don't know if this is a good place to put it, but it's something that's come up in a lot of marriage books, and it's become a pretty big deal in modern Christian culture. I think is worth mentioning here, that the concept of the one being out there is silliness. Like, there's one person for me. It's like this cute, romanticized, ideal version of, like, it's almost a silly, like, Calvinistic version of, like, there is only one way and God has this one person in mind for me. And I believe truly that my wife is who God expects me to be with. But there's kind of this deal, like, man, like, she's the one because I chose her and she accepted me as her husband. Like, that's what makes them the one. So it's not this perfect, ideal, always great circumstance, but, like, you are going to marry an imperfect person. You are going to date an imperfect person. Understand that, expect that. And this is something, like, I think you've been fair about with this, and I'm trying to maintain. This is all a discussion on balance, about imperfect principle or perfect principles with imperfect practices. But something to help you gauge this is to understand this, hold yourself to the same standard you would hold someone else to. Understand that you're going to date an imperfect person, again, as you yourself are. And that person, if you, Lord willing, you marry them, becomes the one, it's because you each chose each other, and that's what makes them the one, and that's what makes you committed to them long term. And then thirdly, understand that you in your life will be carrying someone's baggage along with your own. And I do think it's fair for any young man or young woman out there who is going through this to know that it is okay to say that there is some baggage that's just too heavy for me, and it is incompatible for me, and I can still respect a person and root for a person. That person is still worthy of love, of not just Christ, but of some partner out there, and still say, even if I have major respect for you and think you're a great person, I can't carry that baggage. I think that that's fair. Like, and again, those are more principles. I'm kind of chickening out and not giving you hard line truths, but I think that those are principles that help with this and having high expectations.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think I was thinking about this question and why you were talking was, I think with the era that we're in of dating apps, I think you can tailor who you want so much that if they don't meet that exact criteria, then you're very quick to give up or end things. I remember, and maybe I shouldn't have said it exactly this way, but I remember teaching a teen class on dating and saying, like, reduce your expectations a little bit, because I think it's kind of true, because
here's the thing, man, for those... you and I both, we were prayerful that our future spouses would lower their expectations. So I think that that's great, you know, like, praise God.
And they certainly did for me, not for you, not for you. Oh, you're great.
Please.
But I really like what you said. One, it's the log and spec thing that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, because I think we do that. We do this really with any relationship. Oftentimes, we'll hold people to a higher standard than what we hold ourselves to. And you mentioned the service thing. we can easily do that in that area. Like, oh man, they're selfish. They're not serving others. Well, am I serving? Oh, they're not very kind. They were kind of rude to that person. Am I always kind? I think a helpful tip is write down all of those qualities that you would like in a significant other, mm-hmm. and you work on being those qualities yourself. Okay. You try to be those qualities that you would want. It's like the quote, be the change that you would want to see, or if you want to have a friend, be a friend. Yeah. So I really like that. And recognizing that all of us need the grace of God. All of us need his forgiveness daily. And so I think that that's an important thing for us to know. And then realizing that everyone is going to, there's always going to be some qualities about someone that are just different than you, because God created us completely different. All of us have different qualities. So I really like all that you said there. Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.